This is the 21st. I'm Lee Gaines, filling in for Brian Mackey this week. We're continuing our conversation about gun-related issues in Illinois. Joining us now to talk about his experience as a law-abiding gun owner in Illinois is Courtney Redmond. He's the president of the 761st Gun Club, a nonprofit organization focused on preserving the rights of African-American gun ownership in the Chicagoland area. Thank you for joining us, Courtney.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, you can also join the conversation. What do you think about the gun laws in Illinois? Are you for or against tighter gun control? Why or why not? You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. So, Courtney, I want to start our conversation by getting to know you a little bit here. So I'm curious, how were you first introduced to guns?
First introduced to firearms at a young age. My mother kept a shotgun in the house. Of course, she told me don't touch it. Of course, as a kid, I did touch it. But even more further in my education of firearms, I was in the Marine Corps. I served in an active Marine Corps 8 years.
8 years.
8 years in the United States Marine Corps. I learned, you know, about the basic fundamentals of firearms. Then once I got out, didn't really own firearms until 2015. So after 2015, I purchased my first firearm outside of the military. And then I became an instructor in 2018 with the NRA. And I became an instructor with United States Concealed Carry Association. That was last year, October.
So, Courtney, I'm curious, what motivated you to purchase that gun in 2015 and then to further become an instructor and help others learn how to use them safely?
Well, one of the first things was to protect my house, my household, protect my family, to make sure that I am, as the man of the house, protect everything that's in there, on down to my children. What made me become an instructor, because I see the lack of education in the Black community with firearms and firearms laws. Just the simple thing of knowing that you can't carry a loaded firearm, you can't carry a firearm on your person if you just have a FOID. You have to go through the special licensing, you have to take 16 hours of training to get your concealed carry license.
And so, Courtney, I'm curious about the 761st Gun Club. Can you tell me a little bit about it and why you decided to join?
Well, I decided to join back in 2016. I decided to join because it was a great way for fellowship between African-American men and women, not excluding white or any other race. It was a way to fellowship and to learn more about firearms. So I wanted to learn more about firearms. I learned more with the National African-American Gun Association. I learned more with the National Rifle Association. And I've even increased my knowledge with the United States Concealed Carry Association. So it was a thirst for knowledge to learn more about firearms and the firearm laws.
And do you have a favorite hobby with your guns? Are you a hunter? Do you go to the range? What do you use them for?
Yes, I hunt. I do hunt. I hunt pheasant, deer. Pretty soon I'm gonna get me a hog or a wild boar. I do hunt with my firearms. I do go to the range.
And are you doing all of that in Illinois? Is that all Illinois wildlife?
Yeah, I could do it in Illinois, but some states I go to, Illinois is a little bit more restricted than some states as far as with hunting. You have to go through the lotto process. But if I can get into Mississippi, because I frequently travel to Mississippi to visit my family, I go to visit friends in Texas, and wherever I can hunt it. I have hunted turkey and in Michigan. I have friends that are in Michigan, went there to hunt. But Illinois, yes. You definitely can hunt in Illinois. You have to go through the proper channels and the proper laws.
Well, thank you for that education, Courtney. I appreciate it. So I know that your organization is focused on preserving the rights of Black gun owners. I'm curious, in your opinion, are those rights threatened? And are they more threatened than the rights of white gun owners?
Well, I wouldn't say they're more threatened than white gun owners, but they are definitely threatened. With all of the legislation that's being proposed, Illinois is coming up with, I can't remember the actual bill name number right now, but they want to put an ammo tax on ammunition. I don't see how that's going to stop crime. I really don't. There's already a ammunition tax on ammunition when you buy it in Cook County. So if they already have an ammunition tax in Cook County, that does not stop crime, because we had 794 murders last year with ammo tax. So you want to raise the whole state tax? That doesn't make any sense to come up with another law to raise the state tax and then turn around and claim that it's going to stop crime. It's not.
So I'm also curious, what do you think are some of the misconceptions that people have about gun owners and enthusiasts?
Well, they think a lot of people think that you're just a gun nut. This is a way for me to protect my home. I wholeheartedly disagree with Kathy Willis. Wholeheartedly disagree that you don't need an AR-15 to protect your home. She has a choice as to what she wants to have to protect her home, and that right should not be infringed. I have a right to pick whatever firearm that I can that is in the legal parameters to protect my home. And getting down to whether you asked whether it's more affecting the Black community, it is, right? And it is. We on the South and West side, we have Black people that stay in those war zones, right? We have Black people that say that they have to protect themselves. You have, it is asinine that you have anyone in the state that has to wait 9 months for a FOI card, for a right to protect yourself. 9 months. That is completely unacceptable. Now, understand, Kathy Willis, she felt that was wrong too. But this is what happens when you have a process that goes unchecked. The FOI process is unchecked and unbalanced, unfair.
Well, Courtney, we're going to go to the phone lines. I do want to emphasize that we've been taking calls as this program has been going on. You don't have to respond to these calls, but I do want to give our listeners a chance to voice some of their opinions. So first up is we're going to Sarah in Springfield. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And Sarah, I understand that you have a perspective to share here.
Well, I just keep hearing the same arguments over and over and over. My point is that to own a car and to drive a car, you have to have it registered, you have to buy a license, you have to take a test, you have to buy insurance, and many other things. Why not have the same rules for guns? Then the insurance companies would have, I think they would love this, and they would have to do the checks, the background checks that take the onus of the police department. The bigger the gun, the higher the insurance, and any damage caused by the gun owner.
So, Sarah, it sounds like you're in favor of insurance for owning weapons based on the type of weapon that's purchased. So I really appreciate you calling, and I appreciate your perspective. And also just a reminder to our listeners that if you are just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Lee Gaines, and I'm joined now by Courtney Redmond. He's the president of the 761st Gun Club, which is a nonprofit organization focused on preserving the rights of African-American gun ownership in the Chicagoland area. So, Courtney, you were talking about some of what Representative Kathleen Willis had to say on our program earlier today. And it sounds like you disagree with the proposed legislation to increase the fees for FOID cards, and you're already frustrated by the long wait times that people have been experiencing
yes.
in getting their FOID cards.
If I may answer the caller.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is an insurance. NRA has CarryGuard. USCCA is an insurance agency and insures gun owners. And Texas Law and Shield, there's already insurance in place. Excuse me.
Got it.
Getting more into universal background checks. If you are a citizen, get a background check every day. They run your name through, I think it's the FIPS system. They run your name through the system every day, 360 days out of the year, 5 days taken off because of a holiday. So there's already a thing about universal background checks. You get a background check every single day in Illinois if you have a FOI card. So if we were supposed to have universal background checks, why didn't that stop the Aurora shooter? The Aurora shooter had a handgun. The shooter in Atlanta had a handgun. Now, the shooter in Colorado, I think he had an AR-15, and it is not an assault rifle. It's not an assault weapon. Like I said before, I served 8 years in the United States Marine Corps. They are different weapon systems. There's a higher rate of fire with the M16 than it is an AR-15.
Thank you, Courtney. I do want to go to the phone lines one more time. We've got Ron calling from Peoria. Ron, are you with us right now?
Yes, I am.
Ron, I understand you also have a perspective to share on this issue, and you have something in common with Courtney.
Yeah, I joined the Marine Corps in '69.
Right.
Landed in Saigon, 1970. Stayed overseas for 3 years. Came back. I subsequently retired in '92 after I came back from Desert Storm.
And,
I was the first sergeant, and I had a company of 200.
And Ron, what's your take on gun related issues and this conversation we're having today?
I just want to give you my background. I don't, and my son was also in Iraq. I don't see the need for carrying a weapon in my own country. I just personally, and you know, other people can do it, and they can say, I've had people say they're doing it to protect me and protect my family. I don't need any protection. I just refuse to carry a weapon in my own country. Overseas, yes, and I've got lots of years overseas. I just don't see the need for it. Just adds to the confusion. And you look at the countries that have very, very, very strict gun laws, and you see much less gun violence than we have. We just proliferate it too much. So anyway.
I appreciate that, Ron, and I appreciate you sharing your story with us, and thank you to both you and Courtney for your service to this country. So, Courtney, I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to Ron's
yes.
comment if you want to.
First of all, to Ron, Central 5, I thank you for your support, and thank you for your service, and thank you for your son's service. I can understand when you say, I don't think I should have to carry a firearm in my own country. And you are 110% right. I shouldn't have to. But we can't ignore the fact that there is evil. There is evil out there. One thing, it's a saying that I always use. I carry a firearm not to impose my will on someone else. It's so someone won't impose their will on me. So I don't go around looking for a fight. I'm not this big tough guy that I got a firearm and I want to just, you know, try to, you know, fight every person that I see because I have this firearm. I try as much as I can, and I try to be as much as I can, as responsible as I can, because I am responsible for my own actions. I am not looking for any confrontation. I am looking to simply live free in America. I would love to walk through America and there was no crime, but that's not the harsh reality. There is crime.
So, Courtney, you know, obviously you're aware of the mass shootings that have happened recently, and you reference mass shootings that have happened over the years. You know, every time this happens, people, once again, they start talking about gun control. A lot of people come out advocating for tighter gun control laws. I'm curious, what's your reaction to the framing of that issue, that these mass shootings, which also represent, I should say, a minority of gun violence in general, could be prevented or at least mitigated if we had stricter gun control measures?
Well, I would like to ask everyone out there what law that they will make that will change the hearts of men. That is not just men or men in general, men and women, because you can't spell woman without men. What law that they will make that will change the hearts of men? If someone is meaning to do harm or evil, they mean it to do harm and evil. We can't ignore the fact that there are just evil people out there. So we have to defend ourselves. Now, Kathy Willis said something. She said that not everybody deserves a firearm or should have a firearm. And you know what? I agree. Not everybody should have a firearm, right? But the people that are not supposed to have a firearm have them. So that is my right to protect myself from anyone that means to do me harm, means to do my family harm. I have to protect my family. No matter what, by any means necessary, I have to protect my family. I think when we talk about the whole issue with AR-15s, how many AR-15s are really used in crime? Have we did the statistical data? Have we really looked it up? We just talk about this big bad bully or this bully of a gun as an AR-15, right? And we see that on the news. We see that on the news all the time that it was used the AR-15. Like I said, in the three shootings that I'll name, the one in Aurora, Illinois, the one in Florida. No, that was Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah.
But we had one in Florida, Parkland. And then we had Colorado. Like I said, the one in Aurora, Illinois, that was a handgun. The one in Atlanta, that was a handgun. Right? That's two separate mass shootings that there was a handgun involved. We're demonizing a tool that they're using, right? We're demonizing. So once they demonize the AR-15, now we can move on to handguns.
Yeah, and I appreciate that perspective, Courtney. We're going to have to go ahead and take a break here, but I'm wondering if you can stick around and stay a little bit longer after our break. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Courtney. Thank you for sharing your perspective, and thank you to all of our callers. This conversation is going to continue. Again, we're talking about gun violence and gun-related issues. Stay tuned for more on the 21st. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Lee Gaines, filling in for Brian Mackey this week. We are continuing our conversation about gun-related issues in Illinois, and we've been talking to Courtney Redmond, the president of the 761st Gun Club, a nonprofit organization focused on preserving the rights of African-American gun ownership in the Chicagoland area. And so a question that I wanted to ask you, Courtney, was about the increase in gun sales to Black customers. A survey from the National Shooting Sports Foundation found that it was up by 58.2% in the first 6 months of 2020. Why do you think there was that increase in sales among Black customers last year?
The pandemic is one thing you can blame. The pandemic, you know, you start to think about supplies getting low and people shooting and looting, and the response to police officers. They may be tied up with an incident. We had a series of riots in Chicago that were last year. If I remember, last time I did check, the NICS hits went up in Illinois to 5 million. So that means there was more and more people buying firearms. So that meant that people wanted to be able to protect themselves. Right? So we had a pandemic, we had riots, and we had a rise in crime. There was a rise in crime, so people felt that they had to protect themselves. They realized that the police are not always going to be there. If I may, I had a class down in Bonneville, Illinois. There were some ladies from Pembroke Township. They were all 60 or 70 years old. I gave them a class, a basic pistol class, to teach them how to shoot and everything. The ladies, they told me that the response that they get from the police department. They don't even have a police department. First of all, they don't have a local police department. They have to rely on the sheriff. The police department, the sheriff, takes 25 minutes to respond if there's a break-in. At that point, you having just 10 rounds is not going to be enough. If they want to stand there and fight and they want to come into your house and break into your house, 10 rounds is not enough. 15 rounds is not enough. So when we talk about high capacity magazines, those are standard capacity magazines. to go to AR-15. Think about it. That's 25 minutes you have to sit and wait for the police to even show up. And that's even if they come in with more than one officer, which they usually do. But you have to remember, they are in the middle of nowhere. They have no police department.
Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of this is being driven by a desire for protection amid a year that people have felt unsafe for a number of reasons. We also got a question for you from Twitter, and that question is whether the club is named after the 761st Battalion, the 1st Black Armored Tank Battalion, the original Black Panthers.
Yes, it is.
And for listeners who aren't familiar with the 761st Battalion, can you tell us a little bit about it?
There were a tank battalion in World War II, an all-black tank battalion decorated in their fights in World War II. We named ourselves after that because, you know, that's a part of Black history that we want to convey to the world and never let their legacy die. Their logo was the Black Panther, and it was used, their logo, the actual slogan was "Come Out Fighting." So that's actually the slogan that we use is "Come Out Fighting," 761st Gun Club.
Well, thank you for that history. I really appreciate that. So we also have a call from Steve and Marshall. Steve, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Steve, can you share your perspective on this issue?
Yes. In World War II, the so-called assault weapon was a Grand M1 rifle, and it could only fire 8 rounds before the clip would eject and the infantryman would have to reload. Now, in my opinion, I do not see why we need magazines that need more than 8 rounds to, to have the weapon. The comment he made about needing 15 rounds because in order to protect your home, I find a little outlandish because, if you can't, it would take 9 guys to intrude your home with weapons if you can't take care of them with 8 rounds in your weapon. So that would apply also to pistols as well as to rifles.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I appreciate your perspective on that issue. I also want to read a text that we got from Wendy in Rock City. Wendy says, "I am a gun owner. I do not see the need for any civilian to have an assault weapon." And so those are similar comments. Again, Courtney, you do not have to respond, but if there's something that you would like to say.
I would love to. First of all, they're not assault weapons. They are being mischaracterized. They are rifles. And a lady said earlier that you should have insurance and there's a checks and balance, but you also remember that it is a right. It's not a privilege. Driving is a privilege. And also going with the AR-15, talking about that you don't need 15 or more than that, I can understand and I respect your opinion. I respect your opinion wholeheartedly. But try telling that to the 7 ladies that I've talked down in Pembroke that have to wait for the police officers to get there in 25 minutes. Also, I don't think people take in a real account that someone is breaking into your house at the end of the night. So if you have 4 bad guys that break into your house and 4 of them have guns, do you think you really are going to be on target? I mean, I've served in Iraq. I did 2 tours in Iraq. We had a 9-hour firefight. If you think that your heart and your adrenaline is not going to go or play a factor, then you haven't obviously been in a situation. It's easy to go to a gun range and be a marksman. It's easy to be on target at a gun range because that target is not shooting back at you. So one of the best ways to defend yourself is with the AR-15. Now, you may not see or you may not think that you need more than 15 rounds or 10 rounds, but I can guarantee it's a whole different ball game when you're getting shot at. And I try to convey that to my students when I teach them. I try to convey that to anybody that wants to have the discussion. We can sit here and say that what we would do in a certain situation until we are there. Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? So that's why you take classes. Yes, I recommend classes. I don't want to make it a requirement because you have to also think about the community that can't afford to take a class.
Yeah.
Right. So we want to make sure we are all inclusive. I recommend that everyone takes a firearm class. I recommend that everyone should get out there and learn about firearms, especially with 5 million Nixits. That means there's new people. So we want you to come and take a class.
Yeah. I do want to ask you about a concern, a specific concern in the Black community, and that is that when and if law enforcement does show up to a situation, whether that they've called them or perhaps they're pulling them over, there's a fear, I think, that a lot of people have that they're more likely to be shot by police before they're asked questions. I mean, we have an example of this in the case of Philando Castile, who was shot in 2016 in Minnesota, and he had volunteered that he was carrying a gun and police shot him. I'm wondering what your perspective is on that. I mean, I think there we might have some listeners who fear that even though it's their right to carry a gun, that they might be perceived differently by police if they are, or there's a threat to them.
I don't mean to cut you off, but there is I won't say lack of education. How do you deal with a stop with a police officer when you are pulled over and you have your firearm? I've had it happen to me, I want to say twice. Stay calm in the situation. I didn't reach around. I didn't reach in the glove compartment. And I reached there. I asked, and I gave, and I let the officer take command of that. I asked him. I said, "Hey, do you want me to get my license and insurance? It is right here on my hip." And usually what I do is I take my wallet and I put it up on the dash. I put it up on the dash while I'm driving, and I have a pickup truck, but it's a little compartment where I can put it at. So he can see that. He can obviously see that. It's about education and how to deal with a traffic stop when you are carrying a firearm. All that can be discussed in a class. And that's why it's about education, learning how to deal with that situation.
And so I do want to ask you this question too, Courtney. And this is from 2018, a small arms survey found that there are more than 393 million guns in the United States. That equates to one gun per American, and it equals about 46% of all civilian-owned firearms in the world. And so there are a lot of researchers out there that say the amount of guns in this country is the only variable that can explain the high levels of gun violence in the U.S. compared to other countries. So if more gun control isn't the solution to the violence that we're experiencing, what do you think is? And I know that that's a big question.
Okay. Well, one of the things, if you look at Chicago, Illinois, or anything that happens in Chicago, if you listen to the music, they talk about the drug issues. No one talks about the correlation between SSRIs and the gun violence. Right? So they talk about Oxycontin. They talk about Percocet. They talk about codeine. They talk about weed. They talk about cocaine. They talk about all the drugs that they do. I don't see how it is that obvious that you don't see the correlation between gun violence and that. And then we have depression. Then we have PTSD. We have economical and sociological disadvantages in our neighborhood. Even Kathy Willis said that economically, you know, people are not doing good in those neighborhoods. So you have all of this cluster of things that play a factor in violence. We often call it gun violence, but violence is violence. So no matter what, if you have a gun or a knife, it is still violence. We characterize it as gun violence, but it's all violence. So why don't we talk about opioid addiction or any type of addiction or addictive personality that comes with, with the violence that is in our city, that plagues our city, that plagues our county, and plagues our state. We don't talk about that enough, that we have to look at economical challenges. We have to look at sociological, psychology, making sure we have conflict resolution. And what are we lacking in our neighborhoods? If you want to do a study, then study the right things about violence, right? If you want to do a study, study the right things.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned study, Courtney, because that's something that is being proposed in Illinois, is the study about gun violence as a public health crisis or a public health issue. Is that something you would agree with, or something that you as a gun owner would welcome?
Not necessarily. One of the first things is, what are they going to study? Are they just going to study gun violence? It already has a bad name already because you're calling it gun violence. What about study for violence? There's violence throughout the whole city. We're not. One thing is, who's doing the study? How is the study going to be cascaded throughout the community? How are we going to study? Are we just going to study gun violence? Or are we going to study violence?
And Courtney, one last question for you, and that is what you want someone like Representative Kathleen Willis and other people who are advocating for more gun control, or people that just have no familiarity with guns whatsoever, to understand about you, your experience, and where you're coming from.
Well, one of my things is going on. I want to make sure that I can protect my family by any means necessary. I want to make sure that I think everybody wants all of their family to come home. I don't think anyone is wishing that they will go through a mass shooting. One of the things I do want to say is this. What happened in Parkland. Right? So Parkland, the guy came in and shot 17 students. I grew up in Maywood, Illinois. I went to Proviso East High School. There were metal detectors. There were police officers. There were security guards. And you only can go in one entrance, and you had to be buzzed in for that. Right? I don't think the school in Parkland had nearly as much security as our school did. So we have never had a mass shooting in our school. I wouldn't say never. We haven't had, up to this date, we haven't had a mass shooting in the school. The reason why they had police officers, security guards, metal detectors, is because they were afraid of the threat of gang violence. It seems like they had the security in the wrong neighborhoods. And if you ask anybody that has went to a CPS school on the South and West Side, same thing. They had police officers. Even the school that my wife went to, they had a
Courtney, unfortunately, I'm going to have to end it there because we are running out of time, but I appreciate your perspective. We were speaking with Courtney Redmond, the president of the 761st Gun Club. That is a club that focuses on preserving the rights of African-American gun ownership in the Chicagoland area. Thank you so much for joining us, Courtney.
Thank you.
And that is it for our show today. We had hoped to bring you a conversation with Terry Burnside, a violence interrupter in Peoria, but we plan to bring that conversation to you on a future show. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Lee Gaines.